You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome in, folks, to this post-game live stream, and also going to be repurposed as our post-game podcast. I'm Joe DeLeon here with Chris Flum to react to the New York Giants' Week 3 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. They lost by the score of 17-14, now putting the New York Giants at the wonderful record of 0-3 after 3 weeks of football. Seemingly, yet again, another game where watching the entirety of it, seems like the Giants have a strong hold on their opponent, are in a perfect scenario to win a football game, not a close football game, but win the game by potentially more than just one score. But for whatever reason, could not pull away. Actually, we can kind of pinpoint some of those reasons. Can't even say for whatever reason anymore. Yeah, no,
we can figure this one out.
Right. We know the mistakes, and that's what we're going to cover today. But they had opportunities. Plenty of opportunities to just pull this game away, and it just felt like they let Atlanta hang around, a team that has a veteran quarterback who, in a situation where they needed a game-winning drive, of course he was going to string something together to win the football game. But Chris, man, the frustration is continuing to mount, and I'm sure we're going to see it in the comments in the live stream.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could hear it in the stands at the game. The crowd just switched on a dime. They went from cheering their heads off to just trying to boo the team off the field. I would say Giants fans are fed up. In fact, John Mara got booed at halftime. I don't know about the broadcast you saw, but mine, I didn't see anything but Eli's very closing remarks. And yeah, I think the natives are more than a little restless.
Yeah, and justifiably so. This was a game that I think a lot of people were generally excited for. For one, the Eli Manning retirement at halftime, the jersey retirement, that was a really big deal. Everybody was talking about it going into the week. But then additionally, I think that you and I both felt this way, and I think most people felt this way, that this was probably their best chance to get an easy win and maybe figure out some of their issues. But as I was saying in the intro, because they allowed them to hang in this game so long and they couldn't put up any points up on the board, that's really, really what hindered them. And we're going to break down some of that stuff, Chris, but I want to go into these injuries first and just get them covered, because the injuries played a significant role in this game. Losing Blake Martinez to a knee injury very, very early on. They also lose Sterling Shepard, who came up lame with a hamstring issue. And then we also lose Darius Slayton, did not have him for this game, with a hamstring issue. And frankly, I think if you look at those positions specifically, those are the spots where the Giants had the most issues. They were allowing some plays up the middle. They were allowing some first downs, some rushing first downs because of not having Blake Martinez. And then the fact that Colin Johnson ended up being one of the most productive receivers in this game is a pretty clear indication that they just could not effectively move the ball, and not having two of your better receivers is going to hinder that.
Yeah. I got to say, Colin Johnson was, if we're looking for silver linings, kind of a pleasant surprise to come out of this game. Losing Sterling Shepard definitely hurt. I liked what they did moving Kenny Golladay into the slot. I thought that was a good move on their part. And putting Colin Johnson on the field, he made some nice catches. Yeah, obviously not enough, but it's nice to know they at least have a little bit of depth there if either one of these hamstring injuries lingers. Giants are back on a regular week schedule, and we've talked about this a bunch before. Hamstrings are tricky, and both of these guys, both Shepard and Slayton, they got pulled off the field. they didn't even really try to get back on. So it's way too early to offer a prognosis or say how long they'll be out. But at this point, I'd kind of be a little bit surprised if we see either of them next week. So at least it's good we saw something, at least a little bit promising from Colin Johnson. You know, Blake Martinez, that one definitely hurt. We saw the Giants have to burn timeouts on defense to get the play call right. That kind of loomed large at the end of the game. And also, the Falcons were able to run the ball. Yeah, it happened more in the second half towards the end of the third quarter. But Mike Davis finished with 50 yards on 12 carries, which doesn't sound like much, but 4.2 yards per carry is, you know, that was enough. That was enough for them to really stay ahead of the chains. It was enough to make the run a threat that the Giants had to honor. And that, I think, towards the end of the game, when we saw their defense kind of evaporate, leading to basically a game-winning 10 points for the Falcons, yeah, that, I think, was a big reason why.
Right, and we are used to seeing this Giants defense completely choke down running games and have really good performances. And honestly, I think you can pinpoint some of those late game mishaps where they allowed some big rushing plays. Mike Davis was able to pick up, some chunk yardage. Cordarrelle Patterson was able to pick up some chunk yardage. I think if you have Blake Martinez on the field, he can eliminate some of those plays. So that certainly does factor into it. That loss of Blake Martinez, and hopefully he's back and available relatively soon, because as we know, that is probably one of the best players, if not the best player right now so far this season on this Giants defense. I want to dissect one thing here, Chris, and I think that just overarching simple way to explain this, it's continuously been the same story that we've seen over the past couple of years. We talked about the last two live streams. An inability to finish drives, so two field goals, multiple instances where they were approaching the 50-yard line, they got past the 50-yard line, that ends in a punt. And then, you know, not being able to finish those drives is partially because they can't run the football. Saquon Barkley, only 16 for 50 yards. He does have a rushing touchdown, but it felt like he's still not really 100% fully there yet, and it doesn't help that they're not really creating much room for him to run between the tackles.
No, they aren't. And I think the Falcons' defensive line played better than a lot of people thought it would against the Giants' offensive line, which, granted, is beat up, but still. But I think that's really it. The Giants can't get Saquon Barkley going. He had some big chunk plays, but then he would also have some really harmful losses where he'd try to dance in the backfield like he used to do. You know, like we saw him do his first 2 years in the league, where he'd, you know, be in the backfield, stop on a dime, drop his hips, try to make two, three defenders miss, and then explode. And we're just not seeing that from him yet. Now, hopefully he'll get there. He'll get to that point. But for right now, he has to eliminate that from his game. And that does kind of take away from what makes him so electric. But the Giants don't need electric right now. They need consistency.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that you don't have Devontae Booker and you have to rely on Eli Penny to get some of those carries, which he did a decent job. But I think what we're seeing right now, like you just spoke on, is that Saquon's trying to do that pitter-patter dance stuff that he does behind the line of scrimmage. Those holes aren't there. But on top of that, he's not really 100% back, I feel, because you can see that he can't really explode the same way that he used to. There's instances in the past where he's done that and he's picked up yards, but right now he's doing it. He's kind of getting stuck in the ground as if he's not picking up any yards because he's just not able to push off the same way he used to be. And then he's getting tackled at the line of scrimmage. He needs to just come up field and take the yards that are given to him. Understandably, there's usually not much, but it's better to take a 2 yard gain than a loss or a stop at the line of scrimmage. And I think that that's going to continually hurt Barkley until he realizes, all right, I might not have that same push off like I used to. I just need to use my size and my strength to pick up those yards by maybe carrying some guys or just pushing through whoever's trying to make a tackle.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, even though Barkley had a long run of 15 yards, which is, yeah, that is a respectable rush. It was the longest run of the game. He had enough of those little 1 to 2 yard stops or, yeah, stops the line of scrimmage or 2-3 yard losses that he still only averaged just over 3 yards per carry. Now, granted, that one touchdown run kind of eats into his average a little bit, but still, right now he is just too feast or famine.
And I have to say this, and frankly, I don't care if people disagree with me on this one. I don't think Daniel Jones did anything in terms of putting the Giants in a position to lose this game. I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't think any blame should go on Daniel Jones's head. That he had a pretty good performance. He threw for 24 for 35 and 266, no touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a good performance. But the problem that we keep seeing, and I freaking say it every single week, is you can't run the football. So the guy has to do everything, and he's not the type of quarterback that can just do everything. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. And there's very few guys in the NFL that are that capable in a very difficult circumstance where everything else is shut down, where he can take over the game. You're not going to get a guy like that at your starting quarterback. It's just very, very hard to get one of those guys. So if you can't run the football and he's doing his job and he's being relatively effective, this offense isn't going to score more than 14 points. So something needs to give at some point if they can't run the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to disagree just a little bit on Jones. He needs to place the football better.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay, good. This is something I've noticed through the first three games. The first two games and then this game. Jones has been playing with fire with his placement of the football. We've noticed either making guys as big as Kenny Golladay and Colin Johnson jump to full extension, Sterling Shepard lay out horizontal to the ground, throw the ball 6 feet behind Devonta Booker. It is kind of amazing at this point that one of those passes hasn't been tipped up and intercepted. Yeah, so far I've counted at least two passes in each game that should have been intercepted, which, why don't we use that as a segue to go over to the biggest should have been, would have been, could have been of the game.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, multiple interceptions that would have gotten the Giants defense off the field. And that was stupidly lucky that a Adoree Jackson play, him dropping that football. That for me was the ultimate frustration, because again, it goes in line with everything that we've talked about throughout this season so far, and also last season, where they're in positions to win football games, but for whatever reason, they cannot finish. Dropping an interception, an easy interception, literally didn't have to do anything but catch the football. It would have been, the game would have been over. It would have been done.
Yeah, that was a gift of an interception in the end zone. It was a terrible pass by Matt Ryan. The timing just looked off that whole play for the Falcons. I think the ball might have even have gotten tipped. And, granted, it would have been a tough catch. But still, if you are a cornerback, especially one with the history that Adoree Jackson has, where he was just a weapon at USC. He only played cornerback full-time for one season. He was a return specialist. I believe he even took some snaps on offense. that's one you have to have. You have to get your hands on that. Or if you get your hands on it, you have to come down with it. Because like you said, that ends the game. And instead, what happens? A few plays later, down Falcons. And that basically winds up being the difference in the game.
Yeah, I had this horrible feeling, in my gut. As soon as he drops that ball, I immediately knew that they were going to score. Based on circumstance, right? Yeah, history, circumstance, and just based on pure luck, the fact that he dropped that only meant that it was going to go in the opposite direction for the Giants when they could have iced the game. But I will say, though, Chris, defensively, they did play very well. We made note of that in our things that we wanted to talk about on this show, that only allowing 17 points is a strong performance, only allowing 296 yards and then 227 passing with three sacks was a pretty strong day. We have another Azeez Ojulari sack in this one, and they were also did a pretty effective job in choking down Kyle Pitts, who we know is a very, very explosive weapon for that Falcons offense. But defensively, they did well. They just were put in a really difficult spot on those final two drives.
Yeah. At this point, it's getting really frustrating that the Giants defense just seems to evaporate at the end of halves. You know, they played really well, for about 3.5 quarters. The only problem is the last 2 minutes or so of the first half, they kind of forgot how to football. And then at the last, what was it? 6 minutes? No, that was about an 8-minute drive. So yeah, maybe the second half of the fourth quarter. Again, Atlanta found it way too easy to move the football. All of a sudden, Kyle Pitts started to get loose. The Giants completely forgot about Cordarrelle Patterson. The run defense finally broke down. And unfortunately, just those few mistakes from a defense that was probably tired and was put in a terrible position by an offense that just couldn't get traction, couldn't finish their drives. But yeah, they just finally broke.
I think any other circumstance on any other with any other offense, the way that they've played over these first three games defensively, that's winning football. If you're only allowing around 20 points per game, that's all you need to do to win football in the National Football League these days because of how high scoring some of these games are. So to pull down 17 points, which should have been probably only 7, it's a great football game. But as we're seeing continuously, they're put in disadvantageous situations because they have to play closeout defense after playing complete closeout defense the entirety of the game. It's unsustainable at this point where they can't keep guys out of the end zone the entirety of the game. They've been doing well enough. It's just the offense continues to hang them out the dry, I feel.
Yeah, and the team in general and the offense in particular, just too many flags, penalties, just mistakes again and again. You know, we had between the two teams 20 penalties last week. I feel like it had to be close to that again this week. You know, I messaged you during the game. I said, it's like, it feels like every time a whistle blows after a play, I'm looking for a flag. I'm almost not even looking to see what the result of the play was because I feel like it's going to be either the ball's either going to be advancing forward because of the refs or going backwards because of the refs.
Right. Yeah. No, this, I think overall that pretty much sums up what we're getting at with this game is the inability to finish those drives is pretty much the key point to harp on. The inability to run the football, which we've seen over the last three games, is another reason why they've lacked success. I almost wonder, is this an offense that needs to go out and bring in a different running back at this point? And I'm not saying replace Saquon Barkley, but if they want to be competitive and try and fix something quick, do they need to change the faces that are in the running back room? And Devontae Booker's done decently. He wasn't available for this game, but I almost wonder if you need to go get somebody a little bit more dynamic so you can actually run the football the way that they want to.
That could be an answer. And I'd also like to know why Jason Garrett went away from what has been working for the last year with the inside runs. You know, we already said that Atlanta's defensive front played better than I think anyone thought they did. And the Giants do have those injuries on their offensive interior, but their inside runs, the man gap power runs, the counter tray runs, the inside zone runs, that has been the foundation of their offense going back to last year. And those are plays they execute well. And for some reason, they just kind of drifted away from it. Now, maybe those are plays that Ben Bredesen and Billy Price don't execute as well. But yeah, that might be a question we have to go back to the tape to look at.
Yeah, watching the tape is always something fun that we love enjoying after a silly loss like this one. But I think that's a good note to wrap us up on. We're going to be coming at you guys with a film breakdown episode on our podcast feed like we typically do. You can just catch that wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search up Big Blue View. We'll do that on Tuesday. That'll be released early in the morning. Be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you guys are tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.